The chapter including the discourse about Muchalinda. The discourse about Muchalinda. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Uruvela, on the bank of the river Nairanjara, at the root of the Muchalinda tree, in the first period after attaining awakening. Then at that time the Gracious One was sitting in one cross-legged posture for 7 days, experiencing the happiness of freedom. Then at that time a great cloud arose out of season, bringing 7 days of rainy weather, cold winds and overcast days. Then the Naga King Muchalinda, after leaving his domicile and surrounding the Gracious One's body 7 times with his coils, stood with his great hood stretched out above his head, thinking, "May the Gracious One not be cold. May the Gracious One not be hot. May the Gracious One not be afflicted by gadflies, mosquitoes, wind, the heat of the sun, and serpents." Then with the passing of those 7 days, the Gracious One arose from that concentration. Then the Naga King Muchalinda, having understood that the sky was now clear without a cloud, having unravelled his coils from the Gracious One's body, and after withdrawing his own form and creating the appearance of a young Brahmana, stood in front of the Gracious One, revering the Gracious One with raised hands. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: "There is happiness and detachment for the one who is satisfied, who has heard the Dhamma and who sees. There is happiness for he who is free from ill will in the world, who is restrained towards breathing beings. The state of dispassion in the world is happiness, the complete transcending of sense desires, but for he who has removed the conceit I am, this is indeed the highest happiness." Two, the discourse about the kings. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jeta's wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time, amongst many monks, after returning from the alms round after the meal, assembling together and sitting in the attendance hall, this conversation arose: "Now, venerable friends, which of these two kings has the greater wealth, the greater riches, the greater treasury, the greater realm, the greater vehicles, the greater strength, the greater power, the greater majesty? The Magadhan king Sainya Bimbisara, or the Kosalan king Pasenadi?" Now this conversation amongst those monks was left unfinished. Then the Gracious One, having risen from seclusion in the evening time, went to the assembly hall, and after going, he sat down on the prepared seat. Having sat down, the Gracious One addressed the monks, saying, "What is the talk about, monks, amongst those who have assembled together and are sitting here at present? And what is the conversation that you left unfinished?" "Here, reverend sir, after returning from the alms round after the meal, assembling together and sitting in the attendance hall, this conversation arose. Now, venerable friends, which of these two kings has the greater wealth, the greater riches, the greater treasury, the greater realm, the greater vehicles, the greater strength, the greater power, the greater majesty? The Magadhan king Sainya Bimbisara, or the Kosalan king Pasenadi?" "This is the conversation, reverend sir, that we left unfinished." Then the Gracious One arrived. "This is certainly not suitable, monks, for you sons of good family, who through faith have gone forth from the home to homelessness, that you should talk such talk. When you have assembled together, monks, there are two things that you ought to do: talk about the Dhamma, or maintain noble silence." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: that which is sensual happiness in the world and that happiness which is divine, to the happiness of the destruction of craving, these are not worth a 16th part. Three, the discourse about the stick. Thus I heard, at one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jetas Wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time many young boys who were between Sarvati and Jetas Wood were attacking a snake with a stick. Then the Gracious One, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up his bowl and robe, was entering Sarvati for alms. The Gracious One saw those many young boys between Sarvati and Jetas Wood attacking a snake with a stick. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. He who, while seeking happiness for himself, harms with a stick other beings who desire happiness, will not find happiness after passing away. He who, while seeking happiness for himself, does not harm with a stick other beings who desire happiness, will find happiness after passing away. 4. The Discourse about Veneration. Thus I heard, at one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jetas Wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time the Gracious One was venerated, respected, revered, honoured, esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Also the community of monks were venerated, respected, revered, honoured and esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. But wanderers from other sects were not venerated, not respected, not revered, not honoured, not esteemed, nor were they in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Then those wanderers from other sects, being unable to bear the veneration of the Gracious One and the community of monks, after seeing the monks in the village or the wilderness, with vulgar and rough words, scolded, abused, annoyed, and troubled them. Then many monks went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, those monks said this to the Gracious One, "At present, reverend sir, the Gracious One is venerated, respected, revered, honoured, esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Also the community of monks are venerated, respected, revered, honoured, esteemed, and in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. But wanderers from other sects are not venerated, not respected, not revered, not honoured, not esteemed, nor are they in receipt of robes, alms food, dwellings and medicinal requisites to help when sick. Then those wanderers from other sects, reverend sir, being unable to bear the veneration of the Gracious One and the community of monks, after seeing the monks in the village or the wilderness, with vulgar and rough words, scold, abuse, annoy and trouble them. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance. Affected by pleasure and pain in the village or wilderness, you should certainly not consider it as due to oneself or another. Contacts affect one with cleaving as condition. How could contacts affect one without cleaving? 5. The Discourse about the Lay Follower. Thus I heard, at one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jetas Wood at Anathapindika's monastery. Then at that time a certain lay follower from Ichanangala, had arrived at Sarvati with some business or other. Then that lay follower, having concluded that business in Sarvati, went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the Gracious One said this to that lay follower, "At long last, lay follower, you have made arrangements, so to say, for coming here." "For a long time, reverend sir, I have desired to come to see the Gracious One, but I have been engaged with some sort of duty and business or another, and I have thus been unable to come to see the Gracious One." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: "For he who has nothing, there is happiness indeed, for the one who has discerned the Dhamma, for the learned. See how one who has something is troubled. He is a person who is in a state of bondage in regard to other people." Six. The Discourse about the Pregnant Woman. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati, in Jeta's wood, at Anatha Pindika's monastery. Then at that time a certain wanderer's young Brahmana wife was pregnant and about to give birth. Then that female wanderer said this to that wanderer, "Please go, Brahmana, and bring oil which can be used for my delivery." When that was said, that wanderer said this to that female wanderer, "But from where, dear lady, can I bring oil?" Then for a second time that female wanderer said this to that wanderer, "Please go, Brahmana, and bring oil which can be used for my delivery." For a second time that wanderer said this to that female wanderer, "But from where, dear lady, can I bring oil?" Then for a third time that female wanderer said this to that wanderer, "Please go, Brahmana, and bring oil which can be used for my delivery." Then at that time, at the Kosalan King Pasenadi's storehouse, to an ascetic or Brahmana, as much ghee or oil as was necessary was being given to drink, but not to carry away. Then it occurred to that wanderer, at the Kosalan King Pasenadi's storehouse, to an ascetic or Brahmana, as much ghee or oil as is necessary is being given to drink, but not to carry away. Well now, after going to the Kosalan King Pasenadi's storehouse, drinking as much of the oil as is necessary, returning to the house, and after throwing it up, I could give it to her, and that can be used for her delivery. Then that wanderer, after going to the Kosalan King Pasenadi's storehouse, drinking as much of the oil as was necessary, returning to the house, was not able to get it up nor down, and he was affected by painful, sharp, harsh and bitter feelings, and he rolled around forwards and backwards. Then the Gracious One, having dressed in the morning time, after picking up his bowl and robe, was entering Sarvati for alms. The Gracious One saw that wanderer affected by painful, sharp, harsh and bitter feelings, and rolling around forwards and backwards. Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: "Happy indeed are those who have nothing. The perfect ones are people who surely have nothing. See how one who has something is troubled. He is a person who is in a state of bondage in regard to other people." 7. The Discourse about the Only Son. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati in Jeta's wood at Anatha Pindika's monastery. Then at that time a certain lay follower's only son, who was beloved and dear, had died. Then many lay followers with wet clothes and hair in the middle of the day went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the gracious one said this to those lay followers, "Now why are you lay followers with wet clothes and hair coming here in the middle of the day?" When that was said, that lay follower said this to the gracious one, "My only son, who was beloved and dear, reverend sir, has died. That is why we, with wet clothes and hair, are coming here in the middle of the day." Then the gracious one, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance, "Hosts of devas and many men are tied by the satisfaction in forms that are loved. Miserable and worn out, they come under the power of the king of death. For sure those who are heedful day and night give up forms that are loved. They surely dig up the root of misery, which is death's bait, so difficult to transcend." VIII. The Discourse about Suppavasa. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Kundiya, at Kundadana Wood. Then at that time the Kolian lady Suppavasa was with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it was lost in the womb and couldn't be delivered. While she was affected by painful, sharp, harsh, and bitter feelings, she consented to 3 thoughts. "For sure the Gracious One is a perfect Sambuddha who teaches the Dhamma for the giving up of suffering such as this. For sure the Gracious One's community of disciples are good in their practice who practice for the giving up of suffering such as this. It is sure that emancipation is truly happy where suffering such as this is not found." Then the Kolian lady Suppavasa addressed her husband, saying, "Come, Master, you must go to the Gracious One, and after going, in my name, you should worship the Gracious One's feet with your head, and ask if he is free from affliction, free from sickness, in good health, strong, and living comfortably, and say, 'The Kolian lady Suppavasa, reverend sir, worships the Gracious One's feet with her head, and asks if you are free from affliction, free from sickness, in good health, strong, and living comfortably.' And please say this: 'The Kolian lady Suppavasa, reverend sir, has been with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it has been lost in the womb. While she is affected by painful, sharp, harsh, and bitter feelings, she consents to 3 thoughts. For sure the Gracious One is a perfect Sambuddha who teaches the Dhamma for the giving up of suffering such as this. For sure the Gracious One's community of disciples are good in their practice who practice for the giving up of suffering such as this. It is sure that emancipation is truly happy where suffering such as this is not found.' 'That is the best thing,' said the Kolian gentleman, and after replying to Suppavasa, the Kolian lady, he went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, that Kolian gentleman said this to the Gracious One, 'The Kolian lady Suppavasa, reverend sir, worships the Gracious One's feet with her head, and asks if you are free from affliction, free from sickness, in good health, strong, and living comfortably.' And she says this: 'The Kolian lady Suppavasa, reverend sir, has been with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it has been lost in the womb. While she is affected by painful, sharp, harsh, and bitter feelings, she consents to 3 thoughts. For sure the Gracious One is a perfect Sambuddha who teaches the Dhamma for the giving up of suffering such as this. For sure the Gracious One's community of disciples are good in their practice who practice for the giving up of suffering such as this. It is sure that emancipation is truly happy where suffering such as this is not found. Happy may the Kolian lady Suppavasa be, and healthy, and may she give birth to a healthy son." And with this word of the Gracious One, the Koli and Lady Suppawasa became happy and healthy, and gave birth to a healthy son. Yes, Reverend Sir, said the Koli and gentleman, and after greatly rejoicing and gladly receiving this word of the Gracious One, rising from his seat, worshipping and circumambulating the Gracious One, he returned to his own home. The Koli and gentleman saw that the Koli and Lady Suppawasa was happy and healthy, and had given birth to a healthy son. Having seen that, it occurred to him, surely it is wonderful, friend, surely it is marvellous, friend, the realized one's great power and great majesty, inasmuch as this Koli and Lady Suppawasa, with this word of the Gracious One, became happy and healthy, and to a healthy son gave birth, and he was elated, gladdened, joyful and happy. Then the Koli and Lady Suppawasa addressed her husband, saying, Come, Master, you must go to the Gracious One, and after going, in my name you should worship the Gracious One's feet with your head, and say, The Koli and Lady Suppawasa, Reverend Sir, worships the Gracious One's feet with her head. And please say this, The Koli and Lady Suppawasa, Reverend Sir, was with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it was lost in the womb. But now she is happy and healthy, and has borne a healthy son. For 7 days she invites the community of monks with the Buddha at its head for a meal. May the Gracious One consent, Reverend Sir, to 7 meals from the Koli and Lady Suppawasa together with the community of monks. That is the best thing, said the Koli and gentleman. And after replying to Suppawasa, the Koli and Lady, he went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the Koli and gentleman said this to the Gracious One, The Koli and Lady Suppawasa, Reverend Sir, worships the Gracious One's feet with her head, and she says this, The Koli and Lady Suppawasa, Reverend Sir, was with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it was lost in the womb. But now she is happy and healthy, and has borne a healthy son. For 7 days she invites the community of monks with the Buddha at its head for a meal. May the Gracious One consent, Reverend Sir, to 7 meals from the Koli and Lady Suppawasa, together with the community of monks. Then at that time a certain lay follower had invited the community of monks with the Buddha at its head to a meal on the morrow. Now that lay follower was Venerable Maha Moggallana's supporter. Then the Gracious One addressed Venerable Maha Moggallana, saying, Come, Moggallana, you must go to that lay follower, and after going, please say this to that lay follower. Friend, the Koli and Lady Suppawasa was with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it was lost in the womb. But now she is happy and healthy, and has borne a healthy son. For 7 days she has invited the community of monks with the Buddha at its head for a meal. Please let the Koli and Lady Suppawasa make her 7 meals. Afterwards he can make his. He is your supporter. Yes, Reverend Sir, said Venerable Maha Moggallana, and after replying to the Gracious One, he went to that lay follower, and after going, he said this to that lay follower. Friend, the Koli and Lady Suppawasa was with child for 7 years, and for 7 days it was lost in the womb. But now she is happy and healthy, and has borne a healthy son. For 7 days she has invited the community of monks with the Buddha at its head for a meal. Let the Koli and Lady Suppawasa make her 7 meals, and afterwards you can make yours. If, Reverend Sir, Master Maha Moggallana is my surety for 3 things, for wealth, for life, and for faith, the Koli and Lady Suppawasa may make her 7 meals, and afterwards I will make mine. For 2 things, friend, I am your surety, for wealth and for life, but for faith, You are the surety. If, Reverend Sir, Master Mahamogalana is my surety for two things, for wealth and for life, the Koli and Lady Sapawasa may make her seven meals, and afterwards I will make mine. Then Venerable Mahamogalana, after conciliating that lay follower, went to the Gracious One, and after going he said this to the Gracious One, "That lay follower has been conciliated by me, Reverend Sir. Let the Koli and Lady Sapawasa make her seven meals, and afterwards he can make his." Then the Koli and Lady Sapawasa for 7 days with her own hand served and satisfied the community of monks with the Buddha at its head, with excellent comestibles and edibles. Then she made the little boy worship the Buddha and the whole community of monks. Then Venerable Sariputta said this to that little boy, "Can you bear up, little boy? Can you carry on? Do you have any pain?" "How, Reverend Sariputta, can I bear up? How can I carry on? For 7 years I have been living in a bloodbath." Then it occurred to the Koli and Lady Sapawasa, "My son is consulting with the general of the Dhamma," and she became elated, gladdened, joyful and happy. Then the Gracious One, after seeing that the Koli and Lady Sapawasa was elated, gladdened, joyful and happy, said this to the Koli and Lady Sapawasa, "Sapawasa, do you long for another such son?" "Gracious One, I long for another 7 such sons." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance, "The disagreeable in an agreeable form, the unlovely in a lovely form, the painful in the form of pleasure, overcome the heedless one." IX. The Discourse about Visakha. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Sarvati, at the eastern monastery in Megara's mother's mansion. Then at that time Megara's mother, Visakha, was bound up in some matter or other with the Kosalan King Pasenadi, but the Kosalan King Pasenadi would not conclude it according to her desire. Then Megara's mother, Visakha, in the middle of the day, went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, she sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the Gracious One said this to Megara's mother, Visakha, "Well now, Visakha, where have you come from in the middle of the day?" "Here, Reverend Sir, I am bound up in some affair or other with the Kosalan King Pasenadi, but the Kosalan King Pasenadi does not conclude it according to my desire." Then the Gracious One, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance, "All that is in another's power is painful, all that is mastered is pleasing, what is shared is troubling, for yokes are difficult to transcend." X. The Discourse about Badiya. Thus I heard. At one time the Gracious One was dwelling near Anupiya in the mango wood. Then at that time Venerable Badiya, Kali Goda's son, having gone to the wilderness to the root of a tree, to an empty place, was frequently uttering this exclamation, "Ah happiness! Ah happiness!" Many monks heard that when Venerable Badiya, Kali Goda's son, had gone to the wilderness to the root of a tree, to an empty place, was frequently uttering this exclamation, "Ah happiness! Ah happiness!" And after hearing this, it occurred to them, "Undoubtedly, friends, Venerable Badiya, Kali Goda's son, who has no great delight living the spiritual life, and remembering the royal happiness he had formerly in the home life, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, he is frequently uttering this exclamation, Ah happiness! Ah happiness!" Then many monks went to the Gracious One, and after going and worshipping the Gracious One, they sat down on one side. While sat on one side, those monks said this to the gracious one: "Venerable Badia, reverend sir, Kali Godar's son, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, is frequently uttering this exclamation: 'Ah, happiness! Ah, happiness!' Undoubtedly, reverend sir, Venerable Badia, Kali Godar's son, has no great delight living the spiritual life. And remembering the royal happiness he had formerly in the home life, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, he is frequently uttering this exclamation: 'Ah, happiness! Ah, happiness!'" Then the gracious one addressed a certain monk, saying, "Please go, monk, and with my word address the monk Badia, saying, 'The teacher friend Badia calls you.'" "Yes, reverend sir," said that monk, and after replying to the gracious one, he went to Venerable Badia, Kali Godar's son, and after going, he said this to Venerable Badia, Kali Godar's son: "The teacher friend Badia calls you." "Yes, friend," said Venerable Badia, Kali Godar's son, and after replying to that monk, he went to the gracious one. After going and worshipping the gracious one, he sat down on one side. While sat on one side, the gracious one said this to Venerable Badia, Kali Godar's son: "Is it true, as it seems, Badia, that you, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, frequently utter this exclamation: 'Ah, happiness! Ah, happiness!'" "Yes, reverend sir." "But Badia, seeing what reason did you, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, frequently utter this exclamation: 'Ah, happiness! Ah, happiness!'" "Formerly, reverend sir, while I was in the home life ruling the country, the inside of the inner quarters was well appointed with guards, and the outside of the inner quarters was well appointed with guards, and inside the city it was well appointed with guards, and outside the city was well appointed with guards, and inside the country it was well appointed with guards, and outside the country it was well appointed with guards. Although, reverend sir, I was being guarded and protected in this way, I was fearful, anxious, distrustful, and afraid. But at present, reverend sir, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, I live solitary, fearless, unanxious, trusting, unafraid, unconcerned, not horrified, quite secure, with a mind that has become confident like a free-born animal. It is seeing this reason, reverend sir, that I, having gone to the wilderness, to the root of a tree, to an empty place, am frequently uttering this exclamation: 'Ah, happiness! Ah, happiness!'" Then the gracious one, having understood the significance of it, on that occasion uttered this exalted utterance: "For he who has no agitations inside the mind, who has thus completely transcended continuity of existence, the devas are unable to see he who is without fear, happy and griefless."